Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Mini Crush Monday. I'm here with Noel. Our country is on fire and in the toilet. But other than that, everything's great. Other than that, in the pandemic, things are wonderful.
Yeah, I described it to a friend of mine as like we're living inside a fucked up snow globe nested inside an even more fucked up snow globe. It's a very imprecise image, but, you know, I think it holds.
But snow globes are wonderful and lovely.
But this is a fucked up snow globe.
It's a fucked up snow globe.
It's like the snow is like, you know, coronavirus shaped instead of, you know, lovely snowflakes.
I'm with you.
I don't know. I'm moving all weekend while this stuff was really hitting.
Oh, shit.
The fan.
Yeah. Look at you.
Yeah. But I just mean, so like I was. Other than the fact that I kept last minute receiving these curfew notifications on my phone 5 minutes before the curfew kicked in. So I was like at my old house, like, you know, cleaning. And then I had to haul ass home because apparently
they're not. What does curfew mean? You have to be in your house?
You have to be in your house and they're not fucking around. They like, you know, there was like these two Atlanta cops that ripped these young students out of their cars, smashed the window and tased them. Because they were, that's breaking the law. That's being unlawfully assembled if you're out past curfew. And they can chase you down. I mean, can is, you know, a strong word. But they will chase you down and beat the shit out of you if you're out past 9 o'clock or whatever time it is.
Oh, man. It's been a tough week, everybody. Tough stuff. You know, I put a post on the Movie Crush page that, you know, we kind of try and just keep it to movies and entertainment to give people a little break. And I just didn't want people to think that I'm oblivious or anything like that, because I'm not making a big stand on social media, but everyone knows who we are and what we stand for. And I hope our little corner of the internet is a nice little respite for folks. But that's not to say that, you know, you should ignore what's going on at all, of course.
Totally.
But I'm glad people take breaks and come and hang out on the Movie Crush page and support one another and stuff like that. It's really a great, great page and good people.
Well, we had even on some of the other shows, like talked about, you know, oh, should we not publish a show today because of all the stuff that's going on? And we ultimately decided like, no, I think it's better if we publish. And then if people want a break, it gives them a place to have that break, you know? And
yeah.
You know, obviously we have opinions about this stuff, but I think it's in many ways on best left to others to fully unpack or certain shows. A show like Ridiculous History is an entertainment show that is meant to educate and make people kind of ignore some of this stuff. Same with Movie Crush. So I that's how we ultimately kind of decided.
Yeah. Guess what? Stuff You Should Know episode is dropping tomorrow, which will be this past Thursday as you listen to this at home. Tiananmen Square.
Was it not planned?
Not planned. It just kind of came up that way. And, you know, clearly after we recorded a little bumper at the beginning where we were like, you know, we didn't plan this, but it's super relevant. And if you think shit like this can't happen here, then you're not paying attention because it very much can and kind of is in some ways. I don't want to be hysterical. They're not mowing people down with machine guns like they did in Tiananmen Square. But it is, I hate the term slippery slope, but it is indeed that.
It is at the very least an escalation of some of the things that we've been seeing and a proof positive that this individual is willing to go farther than maybe we even thought he would go. And that's all we need to say about it, I think.
All right. And that's all I need to say about that.
Uh-huh. Where's Forrest Gump when you need him, man? You know? I mean, really. He'd know what to do.
You know that movie hasn't aged well for me. Have we talked about that before?
It hasn't aged well, period, I think. Yeah, it's true. I agree.
And part of it is just I don't know. I don't want to trash it. I liked it at the time, okay. But I remember even special effects-wise at the time thinking, ew, this historical footage they're inserting for us into doesn't look great now, and it's not going to look great 6 months or a year from now or 10 years from now.
Like the composite stuff, like the handshake or where he pulled down his pants or whatever.
Uh-huh. I don't, they just didn't have it. I don't think they had perfected it then. And I don't know if I would have done that if I was Mr. Zemeckis.
People
Wasn't
were
that Zemeckis?
Zemeckis. Yeah. People were loving it at the time, man.
Sure.
It was praised. What did I not realize was Zemeckis? Oh, obviously he did all the Back to the Future movies, and then he did that. It was Forrest Gump that I kind of had forgotten was Zemeckis, because I recently did a marathon Back to the Future situation. Watched all three.
Yeah?
First two are just magical. They're made of magic. I love every second of them. Third one I kind of like was in and out a little bit, but it also might have been Back to the Future overloaded at that point. But I'll give another shot. I definitely remember liking it and seeing it in the theaters. But one and two are just damn perfect movies.
I don't know that I mean, I've seen the first one 50 times. I don't know that I've actually seen the second or third more than once, believe it or not.
I love the second one. The second one, that's the one with it's the one with the sports almanac, you know, where like old Biff comes to new Biff and tells him to steal a sports almanac. And
so he can bet.
I think it's so he can bet. And then he becomes this kind of Trumpy mogul living in this ivory tower controlling the police. It's actually like pretty relevant now too, and it took place in 2015, which is interesting because, you know, we really did not have the 2015 of Back to the Future 2, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's always fun to look at movies that are you are past in years that they say was the future back then. You know, Blade Runners. Actually, Blade Runner. What year was that set?
Ooh,
I should
I don't
know
recall.
This. Noel, can you look that up?
I absolutely can't. I mean, the sequel was 2040 something. I can never remember numbers like that. Where's my browser button? Here we go. When
was
Blade Runner set?
This is a segment we call Typing with Noel.
2019, baby.
Oh, shit. That's right. Because I remember last year there were posts about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Very
mm-hmm.
funny. And I watched... And this little teaser coming up, I'm having a Flophouse special, a series of three episodes with each of the hosts of the Flophouse, the great, great bad movie podcast on Max Fun with Stuart Wellington, Dan McCoy, and Elliot Kalin. And I'm having Stuart on, and he picked, I don't know if you've seen this, I'm not a big martial arts films guy, but he picked Ricky O, The Story of Ricky. Have you ever seen that?
That's just the one with like that famous gif of the guy's head exploding, right? Like
from the Daily Show years ago.
The Daily Show, that's it. Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
No, I have not. Yeah.
Are you into those movies?
No. I mean, I had a little Bruce Lee period when I was a kid, mainly because I really liked The Crow. And so I like got into Brandon Lee and found out about all that. And then I was like, oh, his father was this like famous martial arts guy. I should check some of these out. And so I watched Enter the Dragon. Oh, I was also really into Mortal Kombat. Enter the Dragon was very much what Mortal Kombat, the video game, was based on. But no, I have not seen more than a handful of those types of movies.
I haven't either. And I was always, and I'm going to tell Stuart this when we record, I'm recording three movie crushes today, including this one. Stuart and I record in 3 hours. I'm going to tell him the same thing, that I've always wanted to be a martial arts movie guy, but I never have taken the time to really watch many of them. But Ricky O, whew, boy, that movie is something else. Some of the most creative, goofy, cheesy gore I've ever seen in my life. Like the eyeball gouge count is off the chain. It's off the charts, Noel.
I watched a good eyeball gouging movie. It's a Lucio Fulci movie called The Beyond. And it's about like a haunted, like, I don't know. It's set in New Orleans, and it's about like, it's like this hotel that's situated on top of the gates of hell or something. And
good start.
It's got melting faces. There's a scene where these tarantulas eat this dude's eyeballs and tongue, but it's like, it's hilarious, the shot, because the shot is like, okay, the tarantulas are coming and they're clearly real tarantulas. But then when they actually get on the guy's face, they're clearly like these just furry
like dollar
puppet
store
things, and the tongue is clearly fake, and everything is fake, but it still, yeah, you know, makes you squirm. But man, it's a lot of fun. The Lucio Fulci, who did like Zombie, he's sort of a famous Italian schlocky, you know, gore splatter kind of impresario guy. But I recommend it. It's a fun. So it's on Amazon or one of those streamers.
Well, I quite enjoyed Ricky O. It was, I don't know that I'm going to go down the martial arts film rabbit hole so much, but I enjoyed my time. It was 90 minutes of just kind of goofy fun, good, poorly dubbed, sort of straight up exactly what you think when you think kung fu martial arts classic. And the reason I thought of that was because it was set in 2001, when prisons have become completely privatized. And I was like, oh,
of course.
Boy.
Oh, boy. Ho, ho.
Hey, ho-wa. All right, Noel. So, oh, by the way, too, speaking of Back to the Future, we had to, and I think you know this, had to release our first classic episode, a.k.a. rerun, because the Spinal Tap episode with Brian Cook of Blitz and Trapper was a fail, and that's the first show we've ever lost in whole, and it was very, very disappointing.
I'm sorry, man.
Can you imagine recording a whole episode of Golden Nuggets, and it just gets lost?
Was it just glitchy or something, or there was
yeah, it was
tech?
On his end. I mean, I'm not blaming Brian, but
no.
He tested it, and it worked, and then it didn't.
Of course. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we're doing so many of these shows remotely, and especially interview shows where it's guests that are doing like one-offs and you haven't like done it a bunch of times with them. I mean, it's a crapshoot a lot of the time, and it's no one's fault. It's just sometimes tech doesn't work like it's supposed to.
Yeah. And that's why I'm trying to stick mainly to in-house iHeart folks and then just other podcasters, because they're all super set up. And again, not knocking Brian. He tested it and it worked when he tested it, and then it just glitched out. No good. Can't glitch it out, Noel. All right.
Unless that's your thing, you know, unless you're like doing like noise music or something and it's for effect.
Unless your name is Captain Glitch.
Yes, exactly. The Glitch Mob.
All right. So we're going to move on to our first little social category.
Social studies on Movie Crush.
And I posed this. I'd never got to this. We did this a few weeks ago on the social meds. And here was the question, Noel. Would you love... I'm sorry. Good Lord. My eyes aren't even working yet. I said, I would love to hear your thoughts on the possibility of movies being simultaneously released on demand and in theaters from now on, like regardless of what happens with the coronavirus. Because, you know, there was a big stink that certain studios are not working with certain theater chains and vice versa, and they're drawing lines in the sand. And I was just sort of wondering what people thought about a future where on Friday a movie gets released at home and in the theaters, and it's your choice whether or not you want to go and see it in the theater. Do you have an initial thought?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's certainly been a thing that's come up a bunch just in because of what's going on right now. But I know plenty of people, and I certainly feel that certain movies I could take or leave in the theater. That maybe right. I have a curiosity of wanting to check it out, but do I feel like the big screen, you know, is going to serve it in any like meaningful way? If the answer is no, then hell yeah, I'd pay a little bit to see it at home if I just wanted to like be in on the conversation, but didn't necessarily want to.
Right.
Make it a theater going experience, you know.
What's your price point?
Well, I like we were saying, I mean, if I'm watching it with like a couple of people, I think $20 is more than fair. If I'm watching it by myself, I might balk at that a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
No, I get it. Let me ask you this.
You know, $5, $3, maybe $6 to rent something on Amazon, you know. So that's sort of where I'm at in my head.
If you watched it a $20 movie with four friends, would you collect $5 from each of your friends?
No, of course not. But it would be it's more of a psychological thing.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
So you would spring for it?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. That's the right
thing
to do.
Test?
No, you know, I get it. There are different, everyone's in a different financial situation. And if friends want to get together and throw in $3 a piece and Venmo each other, that's great. I got no, you know, obviously not judging that. That's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. By the way, if I sound more echoey than I usually do, it's because I'm in my giant new office / studio and it doesn't have any treatment yet.
No.
It's full of boxes and has a couch here that's hopefully soaking up some of that. But this is my very first time recording anything in here, so I have no idea what it sounds like, but I think it's going to be okay. I'm really excited about the space.
And I am too, and I have no sense of it because it's just bare walls and a couple of doors and keyboards leaning against the wall and boxes.
That's right.
So I look forward to you getting up your cool artwork and getting all set up. That'll be great.
I'm going to get some of those panels, those cool gray panels to, like, you know, treat the corners and stuff. And I'm going to go all out, Chuck. I'm going to go all out.
You should get these colorful ones like I got.
Yeah, maybe not.
No. You're a gray tone guy.
Fuck you. Hey, look, man, I want to get something that matches my mid-century modern couch. Okay, bro.
Oh, God. All right.
It's kind of a teal.
What do you know about the mid-century, you millennial?
I read a book once. Once!
All right, so that's one more than Donald Trump's read. Hey, so we're gonna start with Lillian Rolf because she's at the top of the list, and I always like to honor those people. She said, I love it, mostly because as a parent of an immunocompromised child, it's going to be a long time before my family is comfortable going to a movie theater, and I'll pay the $20 rental fee. Lillian, that is a great, great point. I'm sure this benefits a lot of people who maybe have a harder time going out for one of a million reasons. So I could totally see that. Benjamin Johnston says, I think it's kind of sad. The reason your podcast is so great is that movies are such an experience for us all. There's something to be said about an entire room full of people sharing the same experience, good, bad, or awful. I get that too. There's no wrong answer here, Noel.
There usually aren't on these, Chuck.
No, sometimes
there's a trivia question. There's a trivia question. There could definitely be a wrong answer, but we don't really do so many of those.
My buddy, old pal, Charles Martin Akers says this. I typically don't make it to the movies in the theater anymore. I'll sneak out for a late weekday show still sometimes. I've been stacking up my Google Play collection over the last 5 years. Anything I'm mildly interested in, I usually buy it on the VOD release. That said, I've spent money on the rentals in the last couple of months, Invisible Man, The Hunt, Trolls World Tour. These are movies I would have just waited to buy and skip the theater. But he said he can't wait to get back to the theater for his favorites.
You're a midday matinee sneak away kind of guy.
A thousand percent. That's my favorite
midday
thing.
Midday matinee sneak away.
That's me. That's what they call me. Yeah, I love that more than anything.
I think it's so funny, though, that, I mean, it seems from everything we know, we've talked about this before, not to be redundant, but those three or four we just mentioned did pretty well, right, with the VOD stuff. So why haven't we seen any more? We know there's so many. Are they just, like, banking on things opening back up? Like, it feels like even if they open back up, they're not going to be able to sell full capacity theater. They're going to have to maybe just release fewer movies in the theaters and have half as many people in each theater. But even that seems logistically weird, and it's not entirely quote unquote safe if you're boxed into a room with people. It's sort of the illusion of safety if you're skipping rows. Like, you know, you're still recycling the air in the I don't know, man.
Well, and the thing too is that I think a lot of people may not consider is these production companies, distributors, everyone who makes money off of a movie being released in the theater, they're businesses. I know they are gargantuan, but you got a balance sheet still. And when no money is coming in, like, how long can you wait on releasing Top Gun and James Bond that you've already sank all your money into to make? Like, they've got a negative balance on all those movies right now, and the movie theater release is what makes that money back. So, like, how long can a movie studio sustain a year of no money coming in like that? Like, I think it's going to take a big, ballsy sort of move by one studio saying, you know what, we're going to fucking throw Top Gun out there like a big tent pole for your home viewing pleasure and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You've got some kind of scuttlebutt in the production side of things. Have you heard anything about when production's supposedly going to restart? I've heard it. I've heard like July, but that seems really pie in the sky kind of to me, you know.
I don't know. I know they just released a 22-page sort of best practices how do we get back to work thing. I'm not exactly sure. I know our buddy Robert Paulson here on the page, longtime listener. He's a locations guy, and I think he sent us an email that was, I don't know if he contributed to that one, but he was involved in some sort of some of the you know, because they talked to, I'm sure, all kinds of crew positions on, sure, hey, what would it take? What do you think you can do in your, because every crew position in every department has their own specific challenges. So it's smart to look to them for guidance. But they released a big 22-page thing. I didn't read the actual document, but I read the article about it. And, you know, it's going to be tough, man. It's an industry where there's a lot of close contact. You know, there's love scenes, there's fight scenes. Actors are obviously going to be super at risk, and they're probably really fucking worried, you know?
It's a lot to take in. There's a lot of, I mean, you know, it's like a city, you know, when these productions there's mm-hmm. hospitality, there's catering, there's everything that is involved in like a moving city kind of. And, you know, I think we maybe talked about this too, the idea of, well, do you quarantine everybody for 2 weeks in advance of the production?
And maybe
then you only hang out with the, I mean, I don't know. All of this protest stuff has really thrown a wrench into this whole idea of social distancing, too. Like, it really, I mean, obviously it's for real, real, real reasons and stuff, but it really makes you think, like, are people just done with that? Like, what? I mean, it's different when you're a business and you have to cover your ass and you have to, like, there's liability and insurance and all that stuff. But
yeah,
looking, you know, seeing these massive crowds assembling, I'm like, are people just, you know, is this, is there going to be another, I don't know, man, another spike or what's going to happen next?
It's very, very concerning. Mm-hmm. I do know one thing, that film crews, you bet your ass, are going to have to sign one hell of a waiver, I think, to go back to work, because they're not going to take any chances with crew members or actors coming after them, you know? Like if someone gets
sick.
Did
you see that thing Disney put out, like, for their theme parks? It was like, I don't think it was a waiver per se, but it was definitely something that sort of flies in the face of the magic, you know,
magic
getaway
<Kingdom.
laughs> that is Magic Kingdom, which was enter at your own risk kind of language.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think they're opening in July, which is, I mean, it's in one way, I think they're doing it at like a 25% capacity or something. I can't remember the exact number, but, you know, if you're brave, it's a pretty good time to go to Disney World if you don't like crowds and lines. You know,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But we'll see. That's all very dodgy for me still. I'm not there. We've had a couple of back of the deck hangs with people, but, you know, we're dipping our toe in, but that's about it. All right. Let me see here. Cheryl Creech Senior, she's a top fan, says, I don't know. I'd be upset if this put theaters out of business. I mean, going to the movies is about more than the film. It's the entire experience. The dark theater, big screen, great sound, popcorn. I'd really miss that. But some films I'd be cool with seeing at home. So I think she's sort of along your lines, which is, you know, go see your big tentpole movies on the big screen and maybe the smaller things you can just get by VOD. If that's even a thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, and we've there is a local theater here, and I think it's probably happening elsewhere. I can't imagine it's not doing these drive-in things, like mm-hmm. where it's the Plaza Theater setting up a big screen in the back parking lot, and they've done a few of these. Yeah, and they've done a few of these events where people pull up in their car and they're watching like classic. I think they did a Rocky Horror one. Maybe they definitely did like some cool
parking
classic.
Over there is so bad though. How are they working that out?
I haven't been, and then a lot of the restaurants over there that were struggling as well, obviously, are doing, like, you know, special menus just for the drive-in thing. And I know that a lot of big production companies are talking about doing this for, say, a comedy act, right? Like, so instead of, like, you know, going into an amphitheater and sitting,
like
they're going to do
thing?
It as an outdoor drive-up thing.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting.
That'd be cool.
But it's also like, the I don't know, the more you talk about this stuff and say it out loud, the more it's like, God damn. Like, things are really, have really
heavy.
Changed really quickly.
I mean, we have a great drive-in here in Atlanta, Starlight Drive-In. And the other day. I was like, oh man, we should totally go to the drive-in. And I looked and there's nothing playing that's worth a shit because there's no movies out.
Well, that's exactly right. They would really need to adopt more of a cool art house midnight movie
totally.
Classic kind of formula, which would be
second good. Run stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They should totally do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think they're, I don't know how many screens are at the Starlight, but if there are four screens, I think they only have two of them open. So, man, they should totally do that. That's a great idea. Classics.
Did you see the really prominent featuring of the Starlight in the most recent season of Ozark? There's a massive, explosion car chase situation that takes place there in one of those lots. It's so cool.
We're
so cool.
Sort of in the last third of the season, but that episode we just watched a couple. Was that spoilers for Ozark? In 3, 2, 1, was that the scene where the truck gets shot up by the cartel?
Totally.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was Starlight. I thought so. All right, spoilers over, everyone. No one dies on Ozark ever. All right, Melinda Bacalao, one of our old pals, says, I'm really bad at looking at my phone, saying, did you see that? Pausing to go pee and that kind of stuff when watching a movie at home. Things I would never do in a theater. Some movies are meant for the big screen. Action movies, Harry Potter, wink, wink. Yeah, that's the thing, man. That second screen, do what you want. If you're not that into the movie, do what you want. I'm not going to tell anyone how to watch a movie, but there's something to be said for putting that phone away when you're watching a movie at home and really getting into it. Are you awake? let me see here. Our old friend, the Danger Oven, Gail Kuntz, says it's nice for people who aren't really able to get out, but it'll be bad for theaters, I would think. So for me, they'll have to make going out more enjoyable because other people are really good at ruining movies with a complete lack of respect for the other people around them.
Mm-hmm.
Again,
we talked about the theater thing too before, but really think that it's going to have to migrate more towards the Alamo Draft House type experience where it's very much a safe haven for people that want to see a movie at the theater and not be, annoyed by people that are just casually there who don't really give a shit about the experience. And, you get that a lot too when you go to second run theaters. When I say second run, I just mean the 99 cent type theaters where people are just going to take their kids somewhere to get out of the house, but don't really care or respect anybody else that's in the theater.
Do they still have those around town?
Not Dollar here. No, I guess not. But it's just something I remember from when I lived in Athens. They still had a couple. And there was one time I went to one and there was literally, I witnessed this basically domestic family disturbance situation where this dude was bullying his family and just being really loud and crass and just terrible. And it was, it was a super cheap movie theater, an easy way to get out of the house, but clearly didn't really care about anybody else that was there.
Yep.
I'm obviously a garbage person, but I do think that, the cost should be prohibitive in that I'm not going to casually spend $25, $30 to go see an amazing movie experience in the theater, but maybe 30 other people like me and you would do that enough to keep it going.
Right.
Because Alamo Drafthouse doesn't show but two movies at once or maybe three. They don't have very many screens, but you're paying for the experience. You're paying for the quality. You're paying for the lack of disturbance,
Yeah, totally. Ideally. All right, I'm going to buzz through a line or two for some more of these, and then we'll move on because I want people to get their say. Old pal Brian Bisesi says, the theater is my me time, so I can't wait to go back when it's safe. But in the meantime, I'd love to see new releases at home. But he thinks the $20 price point is too much. Mm-hmm. I totally get that. Josh Owen says, I don't think I could truly enjoy a new release without a $14 Dr. Pepper. That's funny. Bill Horton says it would kill the theater industry. Too many people would watch from home. That's a good point. Kat Giambruno says it depends on the movie. Giant blockbusters, Star Wars, flicks, Marvel, so much more fun surrounded by fans. Yeah, I totally agree. I think that's where I am too, Noel. Some of the stuff I can watch at home, but I still got to get out to the theater and have that communal experience.
Totally. And like, you know, those big tentpole-y, Marvel-y type movies, they're so much fun to see on the big screen. And
yeah.
I have a really dope home sound system and stuff, but it's not going to match the majesty that is those, you know, Atmos systems that cost like $100,000 a speaker, you know, or whatever. It's just you're paying for that experience. And I think if the ticket prices need to go up, then let them go up and just, you know, treat it like going to a concert. You know, treat it like a special occasion. No, maybe like 35 for like a really 25.
Jeez.
You're already paying 25, basically. Aren't you?
For a movie?
About that? Yes, there are $20.
I go during the day and I go to the North DeKalb AMC and their matinees, my friend, are like $450 or something ridiculous.
Well, that place is clearly a drug front, Chuck. I mean, it makes no sense how that place is even able to exist. I have no idea.
I used to work at that mall.
Well, okay.
Back when it was a real mall. Yeah, we got a very sad mall here in Atlanta, everyone. That's like a third of the shops are still shops.
Right.
And they're weird shops.
Yeah, they are weird. There's like a paint your own pottery place, and then there's like a weird tabletop gaming place, and then there's this, we talked about this, there's this like a furniture store where it's just like everything's just on these pallets with like covered in plastic. It's very like, you know, very surreal and creepy.
It's probably hard for you to believe that mall was totally banging in the 80s.
It's not hard for me to believe at all, Chuck. It still feels very 80s. It feels like one of those new 80s. No, just the layout of it and like the look of it. It feels like an 80s
mall.
Yeah,
trapped in time.
Totally see that. Uh-huh.
All right, so we're going to move on. I ganked this from the Movie Crushers page from Karen Knox. Karen had a very simple question that I don't even think we've covered. Who are your movie crushes, like your actor and actress crushes? I got a lot of them, man.
Surely we've covered
Kate Blanchett. Is one of my all-time movie crushes.
Yeah.
I have a very soft spot in my heart for that lovely, talented woman.
She has a certain gravitas to her, too, that, like, really, like, doesn't take no shit, you know? Like, and she's tough. And
she's not to
business.
Be fucked with, Noel.
No, definitely not. Not to be trifled with.
No, she's great. And I've talked about my crush on Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds, for that matter. I have a dual crush on them. Let me see here. We're going to go with Mike Sams. He says, Chris, Captain America. Chris, what's his face? I'm blanking out because, Chris Evans. So many people just put pictures and not names, so this might be a struggle for me, even though I know who they are. Don Castellano. Jeez, I always mess up her name. Castellano has RDJ, Robert Downey Jr. Mm-hmm. John B. McCarty. Back in the day, it was Jennifer Connelly. Still an amazing actor and as a person. Yes, and I dare I say Jennifer Connelly is more beautiful in her 50s than she was in her 20s.
She is perfection for sure. Have you ever seen the movie
Perfection
Phenomenon? Not we talk about this already? Maybe we did. I mentioned
Phenomenon,
it because
the Travolta movie?
This is different. This is called Phenomena. With an A.
It's
a Dario Argento movie. He did Suspiria and all those giallo slasher films. But it's really interesting. It's like Jennifer Connelly. It's probably just after Labyrinth or maybe the same time. So she's like that period. And it's like, it's the most bizarre kind of slasher, psychological, supernatural horror movie. There's a monkey in it. There's she controls bugs with her mind. They're at like a Swiss boarding school. There's like Donald Pleasance is in it. It is inexplicably sometimes like it's clearly dubbed, but Jennifer Connelly is obviously American. And sometimes it'll just go into these extended periods where people just speak Italian for no reason. Like they forgot to dub that section.
That's great.
But I talked about it with my friends on their podcast, Videodrome Cinema, that they release every week, just talking about a schlocky horror movie. And it was a delight. I took all these crazy notes, just like, what the fuck is going on? Why are they speaking Italian all of a sudden? All of a sudden, there'll be like an Iron Maiden song that'll come out of nowhere. Oh, you'd love it, Chuck. You should check it out for sure.
I'm totally going to check that out. It sounds right up my alley. Mm-hmm. Good brainless 80s, I guess. 80s?
Yeah, it would have been early 80s. And there's some things about it that are beautiful. I mean, Argento obviously is great at, you know, really gorgeous, cinematic kind of like murder. But it's also like really schlocky and the dialogue is awful and the acting is really suspect. But it's a fun movie.
Sounds fantastic. Randy Rodriguez has a photo of or a GIF of Jessica Alba that says, "Come to Mama." She's in bed. Yeah, Jessica Alba's very pretty, but she doesn't even act that much anymore. She's too busy being rich with her huge corporation.
Honest Brand?
Yeah, although I think we've talked about this. She might have sold out, but sold it. Let me see. Jana Reifegersta. She must be Hawaiian. Just kidding. Christian Bale. Yeah, Christian Bale's a handsome man.
But which version of Christian Bale? It's super skinny, super buff, in between, regular?
She has a GIF and he's regular. He's wearing a suit. Okay. I can't quite tell. I don't think that's American Psycho, but he's smiling and he looks very cute in this picture. It's hard for me to get past, though, the whole outburst thing, you know? We're done professionally. Cheryl Jones has Keanu Reeves. Yes, very handsome man. He's gotten better looking as he's gotten older, too. Why didn't that happen to me?
Oh, man. We talked on the last episode or maybe two episodes ago about stoner movies and how you weren't really a fan and you never really, you know, got Bill and Ted or whatever, and how it's sort of a default, de facto stoner movie, even though we never actually see them smoking weed. I watched it last night with my daughter and she was just flabbergasted by the whole thing and just kind of like looked at it like with like her head cocked, kind of like this weird
what is this?
Yeah. And the thing that's so funny is they're failing history. That's sort of the whole point and the reason they go on this, you know, excellent adventure through time. But they have really great vocabularies. They're always saying, "Ted, my excellent brethren," you know, like, "How may we fortu with," you know, like they speak like fucking like Shakespearean type
English. That's kind of one of the it's funny.
It's funny, but it also, like, I think it must have come out before Wayne's World, and if they say excellent a lot, obviously, which they do in Wayne's World. We also watched those a couple weeks ago. Eden loved those, but Wayne's World, much funnier movies.
Oh, yeah?
Just gonna say, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Let me see. Chris Bohm. He parked his car in my garage. He says, "Laura Herring from Mulholland Drive." Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Christina Hendricks for Mad Men. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Rosario Dawson. Yes, sir. And Elizabeth Shue. Yes, sir. Bob. I think we are the same person. He has someone else, Simone Misick. Who is that? I'm looking that person up because I don't know who that is. Yeah, she is quite lovely as well. She's in the Defenders, Iron Fist, Detective Misty Knight, and Luke Cage. She's very pretty. Yeah,
can we count TV at all?
Anyone you got a crush on?
I have a current TV movie crush, and her name is Sarah Snook, or Snook. She plays the daughter in Succession, which is Shiv. Siobhan Roy is her name. The HBO show about like this sort of Rupert Murdoch-esque family, like, you know, a jockeying for like who's going to take over. And she is a badass in that show and absolutely lovely as well.
Yeah, I just looked her up. Who does she look like? She looks like sort of a Emma Stone adjacent.
She also looks a little bit like one of my other movie TV crushes of past years, which was the actor that played the daughter, the artist daughter on 6 Feet Under, and she looks
Claire.
Yeah
I had a crush on her. Redheads, man. Julianne Moore, same thing. And you know, we're objectifying all humans here, everyone. That's what this bit is all about. Who's your crush? Brandy McDonald has Josh Lucas. Yeah, he's a handsome guy. Chris Good has Scar Joe. Yeah, it's hard to argue. Hard to argue with that one. Let me see. Our old pal Meenal Datta has what's that guy's name? It's a picture of him. That Mads Mikkelsen.
Mikkelsen.
Yeah, good taste. He has a very sort of Eastern European, threatening, handsome quality, I think.
He is what you would call smoldering. He's got smoldering gaze.
I'm not sure what threatening handsome means. That sounds bad all of a sudden.
Well, he always, you know, he was the villain in Le Chiffre in Casino Royale, the James Bond movie. He was the guy that like beat.
Oh, sure.
What's his name? Daniel Craig, you know. With
James Bond is his name.
Oh, excuse me.
All right. Well, this one had a bunch of likes. Lee Leonard has old Mila Kunis in there. She is a very pretty woman. And Becca Liu says, I mean, she's probably the most beautiful woman alive. So Becca Liu also chimed in with Chris Pratt. He's very crushable, I would say.
Yeah. I mean,
Here's a throwback. Our old pal, Daisy Christina Abreu. And I don't know if you pronounce it Abreu or Abreu, Daisy, because I've seen it pronounced Abreu, but one of my closest friends, Melissa, she pronounces it Abreu. So either way, you're one of my favorites on this page. And her first crush she posted is none other than Mr. Gene Kelly. And then her last crush is Daniel Day-Lewis. So she's got excellent taste.
Send us a pronunciation guide. Like with like, you know, with dashes and like capital letters and like little accent marks or whatever.
Some people do that on their, you know, you can do that on your, like if I clicked on their Facebook profile, if
that's
open.
Right, that's right.
Some people have that stuff, but I don't go through and do all that. I don't stalk my listeners. Usually. let me see here. Zach Pointer, great taste, my friend. He has Audrey Hepburn, classic beauty and a wonderful woman. Alexander Toynman. How do you pronounce some of these names, Noel? How would you pronounce T-U-Y-N-M-A-N? Toynman?
T-U-Y-N-M-A-N. Toon Man. There you go.
You're not going to finish that line?
Come together with your tunes, Toon Me. I'm together with those tunes, Toon
Me. R.I.P. Chris Cornell, another handsome man. Uh-huh. Alexander Toon Man says, who is this? It's what's her face? Who's the one that sings?
Who's the one that sings?
From Les Miserables and Anne Hathaway. Anne Hathaway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I crush on her too. Yeah. Another Rosario Dawson vote from Juan Nieto. Yeah, is she still with Cory Booker? That's a power couple.
I don't know. I hope so. I really like him. And I like her. And I like them together.
I do too. She would have been a great first lady.
I agree.
Or they're not married. I guess she'd just be a first GF.
Yeah, what happens there?
I don't know.
We've never had a president with just like a partner, you know, not a
or just
wife.
Straight up single. I mean, surely someone's been single. Well, of course, there was, what's his name, who I think history kind of plainly agrees that he was gay. Who was it? Josh and I talked about on stuff you should know. I can't remember. Moving on. Angela Martin Cluck has old Leo DiCaprio. He's a heartthrob. Tina Cheever, Paul Newman. Very handsome man. Classic. That's my mom's guy. My mom was Paul Newman, Burt Reynolds, and Tom Selleck. Those were her big three. Very mom, 80s mom kind of set of crushes.
Tom Selleck's the guy with the mustache, right?
The guy with the mustache. Get out now.
Hey, you said the one who sings, Chuck, okay? I think mine is more descriptive than yours.
So fair. Who's the one who sings? What a dick. I am such a dick. Stephanie Bork has young Brando. Man, he was so handsome. He had quite a transformation in his appearance over the years. Dashing young handsome man, crazy old dude. Dan Maynard has Zooey Deschanel, number one, and has been for a very, very long time. Barbara Wise says,
wait, was she the original? She wasn't the original manic pixie dream girl, which is a trope that is much despised now. That was actually, what's her name?
Was that Garden State, Portman?
It was Garden State. Yeah, that was kind of where that came from with Natalie Portman. And now our boy, Zach Braff, who's in The Family with his Fake Doctors
That's
Real
right.
Friends podcast with him and Donald Faison, which is awesome.
That podcast was my idea, Noel.
No way.
Well, I mean, not specifically, but when that Office show came out, Office Ladies, I emailed our executives and said, guys, if we don't start trying to get these shows, then we're dumb.
Yeah,
and they were like, well, who should we do? And I said, get Seinfeld, get Frasier, get fucking Friends, man. If you get two of the Friends, and they, I did not list Scrubs, but clearly they were, you know, I'm basically saying that I have all the great ideas, Noel, and they owe me money.
Well, you know, I'm sure it'll all come out in the wash, Chuck.
I didn't watch Scrubs, so that's why I don't. That wasn't on my radar.
I loved Scrubs. Loved Scrubs. Oh yeah, yeah. I you know, that was back when you buy DVDs of seasons, and I had all those seasons on DVD
that's
and would rewatch them. Yeah.
All right, let's do a few more of these. Barbara Wise has Idris Elba. Heck yeah, that was a good looking man. JP Mendez, yes, this is one of my crushes too. Liv Tyler, always had a crush on her. Clement Scott has Kate Winslet. Yes, also a crush of mine. I crush on everyone, Noel. Peach Pankhurst says Chris and Margot. Can't go past the Aussies. Yeah, Chris. Who's Thor? Chris, what's his face?
Chris, not Evans. He's Captain America. Chris.
He is.
Is it Evans?
No, he's Captain America. Thor.
He's a Chris Hemsworth.
Hemsworth, man. Those Hemsworth. They're so good looking, it hurts.
Smoldering. Smolder boys.
And then Margot Robbie, she is also a very pretty lady. And all these people are super talented, too. So I know we're focusing on physical attributes, Noel. Who is this? All right, Melissa Zarate, this gorgeous man. It is the Mandalorian, whatever that guy's name is.
In his Mandalorian suit, though, because that's no. A hard sell.
No, he's very cute, actually. He's got dimples. Who knew the Mandalorian had dimples? I can't remember his name, though.
He does take his mask off once, spoiler alert. No, that's not how spoiler alert works. You can't say the spoiler and then do a spoiler alert. Is it a spoiler alert to talk about a thing that happens with wardrobe? I think it is.
I don't think it's the biggest deal if he takes his mask off and you said that.
Okay, cool. Well, we'll let the internet decide what's right.
Yeah, because the internet knows, right?
To be pilloried, yeah, for sure.
I'm taking a big internet break, by the way, starting after we record today, because I've sort of had it with social media, like in a big way. So I'm gonna do some movie crush stuff, but I'm gonna go directly there. Do not pass go. Do not look at my feed, even though my feed is, you know, I cleaned up my feed in 2012. And got rid of all my dumb high school friends who are morons. But I'm tired of it, Noel. I'm really tired of it.
Yeah.
Telling each other how to live and how to be. I'm tired of it.
I don't use Facebook at all anymore for that very reason. And like, we have some groups for some of the shows that are really active and really great. But I've even kind of stopped checking those because they just get, you know, it's just such a pissing contest a lot of the time. And it's like trying to out troll each other. And I just don't find it fun or in any way, like, you know, functional. So I use Instagram because it's just pictures and it's, you know, the stories are fun. And it's usually just like, it's for some reason, it seems like a more tidy world of social media. And I really enjoy it much more than Facebook. All right. End of rant.
And end of episode, Noel. We're at 49 minutes, 18, 19, 20, 21 seconds. That's your old bit.
You stopped. You started rolling way earlier than me. I got 48, 48.
I did start rolling early.
And milliseconds that are counting way too fast for me to keep track of.
Now try and count the milliseconds. I want to hear this.
I can't. I'm trying. I'm looking at it. Three. No. Nope.
You have smoke coming out of your ear. Stop, Noel. Stop. Save yourself.
Thank you. Thank you, Chuck.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. We're only recording one of these today, buddy. So, because I'm just so overloaded this week, I'm recording 10 podcast episodes. Good Lord. What is wrong with me? And we will be back next week. And you and I should knock out a couple of these next week if you're around.
Oh, I'm around, baby.
Where else are you going to be?
Around.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.